You have the privilege tonight of making a special presentation in our service, and it has to do with Mrs. Maud Bennett. And so, Maud, I'm going to ask you please to come up to the front now. Looks a bit different up here, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, this is one of those sad and happy occasions because Maud indicated to us near the end of last year that she thought it was time for her to retire from being the church secretary. And we were sad to hear that news. We know it's been a challenge for her the last number of years because of some health concerns. She's been battling with some issues that have been a bit difficult for her. But nonetheless, during all those times, she has remained very cheerful. And it's been a blessing for me to work with Maud and to have her doing the many responsibilities that she has done these last years in the church secretarial position. It applies, though, our presentation tonight, not just to that area, but Maud has also been very much involved in our Sunday school. She has been involved in our Let the Bible Speak bookstore and also in our Women's Missionary Fellowship. I think what is significant about tonight for our dear sister is that back in 1976, Maud and Winston were the very first members of the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. And so that is marked in history, and it was a memorable occasion. And so you have been with us now for 39 years. And we thought you might have made it to the 40th year for the year of testing, but Maud has thought it's the time that she should retire and just step down from some of these responsibilities. And we're very sad about that, because I think that if there's three things or three words that I could use to describe Maud's work, it is faithfulness. Maud has been very faithful in serving the Lord here in this congregation for these many, many years. She hasn't been secretary from 1976, but she has certainly been faithfully serving in the congregation in many different areas and capacities. And when I think of the word faithfulness, I would add to that the word loyalty. Very loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. She came to know her Savior many years ago, and she's been faithful in bearing a positive testimony for Christ in these many years, quietly working behind the scenes, and not making a fuss outward, but just doing those good works. And so faithfulness and loyalty, and I add to that the word consistency. So these things all put together, Maud, you have been a great encouragement to me, an encouragement in our congregation, and we greatly appreciate the labor of love and the service you have given to Christ. I know you have focused your attention here upon this congregation, but that's because the Lord has called you here, and yet when we take that beyond, it is serving the kingdom of the Lord, kingdom of Christ, and that has been a most appropriate thing. And so we want to present this plaque to you tonight, and it says this: presented to Mrs. Maud Bennett on your retirement from serving as church secretary, the session board and congregation of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church express deep gratitude and appreciation for the many years of faithful service in the church office, Sunday school, Let the Bible Speak bookstore, and leadership of the Women's Missionary Fellowship. We give thanks to God always for you, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. So, Maud, we want to present this plaque to you. We appreciate that so much, your work and your service. And along with that, we also have a gift we want to give to you. And you can take that and open it sometime later.
And so we really, really appreciate your service for the Lord. So
thank you very much.
Did you want to say something?
I'm a woman of few words, actually. But I just want to thank everyone, this session, the ministers, the session, the board, and the congregation, and all those who have been a big help. You don't want to name names, but I'm thankful to Joanne for filling in when I go on the rare vacation.
Rare vacation, that's right.
And there's others, and Linda in the office upstairs is a big help. And like I say, you don't want to start naming names because there are others, Jill and Mrs. McClellan, always encouraging. And George, you got to turn the heat down.
I'm glad you know what it's like for me up here now. I'm glad about that. That's good.
Anyway, thank you very much.
We appreciate your work for the Lord.
Thank
you very much. It takes people just like this to build a church. A church is not built by those who visit for a short time and then move on to some other place. It's built by those who are in for the long haul. And a sister like Maud, who has served very faithfully, we greatly appreciate that. And the Lord sees, He looks, He knows, and He rewards when many times people have no idea what you're doing behind the scenes in serving God, but the Lord understands and He knows. And we are very, very appreciative for that. Could I ask you please to turn with me now in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 71. Sometimes people have to complain because it's a little bit too cold in a building, but that's not our complaint. Tonight it is hot. The only problem is when it gets a bit warmer and after you've had a good feeding today, the tendency is to be a little bit sleepy. So you have to do your work and keep your eyes open and be alert. And if you need to, take your jacket off to make sure you're not too hot. That will distract you and you'll lose concentration from the Word of God. We now come to read Psalm 71. And I trust the Lord will use His Word and bless it to our heart even as we read. David says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise, with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth,
And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, they are brought into shame, that seek my hurt. Let's please bow in prayer. Our Father, tonight we are humbled and give thanks by thy precious word. And we ask of thee, O God, to draw very near to us. As the scriptures are open, we pray that our hearts will be open. I pray for the anointing of God and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I may speak clearly the message of God so that none misunderstand. Lord, use thy word, I pray, as a blessing to every heart. We give thanks tonight for our sister Maud. Thank thee for the years of her faithfulness and loyalty, her service for Christ. Lord, I pray that she will know much blessing from the Lord now. She'll be encouraged in her own heart and not discouraged in any way. Lord, hear and answer her prayers. Bless her in this time now of retirement, and yet show her other areas of service. Lord, we're thankful for faithfulness of God's people. Thankful, Lord, for how it has been so clearly seen in those who have invested their lives. Lord, bless them abundantly, we pray. So hear us now in our prayer and be with us the remainder of this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16 is what I want to leave with you tonight for the time we have remaining, and really the first line of that verse, where David said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And the topic or the title for my message tonight is simply this: living in the strength of the Lord. Living in the strength of the Lord, it's a question for us as well as a declaration. So we ask ourselves, are we living in the strength of the Lord? Is each day something whereby we know God's power? Or are we scrambling, trying to just make it through? That's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live knowing each day we have His strength, His joy, His power, that we will be enabled to go, as David said, forward. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. You know, to an unbeliever, we could say to a non-Christian, there is so much that is given to chance in their lives, for there is no real consideration of the Almighty. Now, there might be an acknowledgement that there's some God out there or some divine power, but if they do not know the Lord by a connected relationship to Jesus Christ, they are outside of salvation. And that means that they do not have a knowledge of the living God. They do not know the Almighty. They do not know the superintendence of God in their lives. They don't believe in a God who oversees all the affairs and circumstances of their life. They don't know the one to whom has made all things. And therefore they turn to luck, to chance, to wondering. They turn to maybe the positioning of the stars. They will look to other things like horoscopes and try to predict the future or see what is in the teacup for them. They have no idea of what life is really all about. Fate is the only answer they have. And in that sense, fate is something hard to be explained because there's no real clear definition for them. But when we think of a Christian, of what it means to be a believer and how we are to approach these very issues, we have what I call a blessed assurance. The hymn writer also wrote of that, the blessed assurance that a sovereign God is the one in whom we trust. A sovereign Lord who has made all things of nothing and who has purposed whatsoever is coming to pass, and He has not lost His control. He has not lost unfolding His eternal plan and purpose. And you and I tonight in the Lord, we have this great confidence in the face of certain disaster, in the storms of life, as we were talking about this morning, in those things that would baffle us and certainly bring great confusion to many others. And when we look in the face of that disastrous circumstance, we can have encouragement. We have the fortitude to go forward, to not lag behind, to actually walk in the face of the storm, knowing this, that our providential, loving Heavenly Father is overseeing these things. And so as the Apostle Paul said, I can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can say I am confident in this great victory that He has set for me. Therefore, I want to look at this verse 16 tonight and set before you this idea of living in the strength of the Lord every day. The direction that we are to take is quite simply, it's not backward, it's forward. It's on with God. And if we're going to go on with God, here is something that we look at intentionally. We are going to go in His direction by His strength and power, and we don't want to go backward or to relive and repeat the blunders maybe that we have made in the past. There are many things to learn from our mistakes. Namely, not to foolishly redo them, adding more misery unto our shame that we have already undergone. I believe that there is an intention in David's words when he said this, I will go. This is not someone who is boasting in himself. This is not someone who is overcome with self-confidence. Here is a word spoken by someone who says, I know the Lord. I know His word. And I will go in God's strength and power. The purpose of heart that David intends here speaks he's going through with God no matter what. And you know, Christian, at times in our lives, we have to make that bold declaration. I determined to go on with God no matter what. No matter who is not going to go on with me. If there are many who are pulling me back like chains and an anchor dragging me, say, no, Lord, I know Your word. I know the truth. I want to go on with my God. I am going forward. And as we make that bold declaration, it is done in the Lord and by His power and strength. We do not attempt this upon our own. We are going on unto perfection, as Paul spoke of in the book of Hebrews. We don't want to lay again the previous foundation. We don't want to have to go over and relive and redo things so that we never seem to get to the next level. No, the Lord is telling us here, as I go forward, I don't want to have to relearn the things that I should have learned many years ago as a Christian and in the things of God
and by faith. Let that foundation be firmly set in your mind. Christian, know what you believe. For the Christian who knows what he believes is able then to step forward and to step out by faith and say, I am finished and tired with what is behind me. Let that go. I'm heading in this direction. And as I press forward, I do so with that purpose of heart. Daniel made it very clear in his word that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And this is very important because we have these three illustrations. You have an example of Moses, for Moses said to the children of Israel, go forward as they stood at the Red Sea, at a huge obstacle. Well, it wasn't Moses' words, it was God telling him what to do. Say unto the people. And they looked and they saw a great obstacle. How can we go forward? But as soon as they took that step of faith and Moses held up his staff, God did a tremendous miracle and they were able to go forward and go through an obstacle that was too much for them in a human sense. So as Moses speaks that word, and as the Apostle Paul says, we're going to go on not laying again the old foundation. And as Daniel says, I'm going to press on. I don't want to defile myself. These are three prominent examples in Scripture for us. They are examples of men who had proved God. And as we think about that in our generation, our time, we must also prove God. You cannot allow God to be proved by what your parents did or your forefathers did or some other generation of missionaries did. No. We must know God ourselves. We must prove Him ourselves. And as we do that, the Lord will enable us to press forward. There is something else in this. There is conviction in these words that David spoke. Because intention without conviction, it will soon fizzle out. A lot of people have intention. We know that New Year's resolutions are made in abundance. People intend to do things. Oftentimes they don't last very long. But you see, if you have someone who is firmly grounded in the Word and they have an intention and it's joined together with a convicted heart, then you have those two parts that make a road that is paved for the glory of God. And as we will go forward. Of course, convictions can be wrong. And just because a person holds firmly to something, it does not mean that they are right. We know that there are examples of that. We see it in everyday life. People are dead on sure. They know what they want to do. They're convicted with a goal in their life. They want to become this or become that. As we look in the business world, we see many examples of that. In the political realm, you see examples of politicians who make promises and they are filled with conviction because they believe that that is going to get them reelected again. And they may vacillate and change. Convictions can be wrong. But a true conviction is something that is not contingent upon circumstances. A true conviction does not matter whether people are with you or are not with you. Because the Bible does not teach us situational ethics, which means whatever situation you happen to find yourself in, you act accordingly. So if you're hungry and you have no money, it's okay to steal. That's kind of a thinking that goes along. If you're in a circumstance that, well, would be wrong for you to act in a certain way normally, but in that particular situation, you justify it. The end justifies the means, in other words. The Bible doesn't teach that. And that's not what we are to be. For as God's people, we must have convictions that are firmly grounded and set in the Word of God. Children in a home are taught by parents, and they are constrained to live up to the convictions of the parents.
But you see, unless the young people themselves come to hold those convictions as part of themselves and part of their own lives, well, there can be a wide range of what I'm talking about. It could be to do with diet, the food that you eat. It could be to do with how you decorate a house and those impressions or influences by parents. That's on kind of a minor area. But you see, it ranges from those things to things that are more important and convictions that deal with faith, convictions that deal with mature understanding of the Bible, that are born out of years of people testing and proving God. And so those convictions that parents have, and I trust that we do have them, that are grounded in the Word of God, we must try to convey them to our children. But at the same time, young people must take those things themselves. They can be taught, but in order to be accepted and believed, they must form strong biblical basis that is practiced with conviction in the heart of the individual. You see, the battle that was fought by a previous generation to do with biblical truth, it must be refought again by this generation. Because battles that were victoriously fought and won by forefathers, and we see another generation coming along that did not have to go through such a struggle and trial, those convictions themselves must be formed. They must be formed in the heart of the individual. And when they are formed in the heart, based not upon custom or habit, but based upon the truth of the Word of God, then you will be able to say, as David did, I will go. I will go in the strength of the Lord. There is a goal that is to be aimed for in what David is saying. Look back at verse 14, Psalm 71. David said, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. I will hope continually. That has been a theme in the hymns, the songs we've been singing today. And also as we thought about the comfort of the Lord this morning, the hope that He gives to us as His people. If you just draw your eyes over to verse 5, David said also, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. David knew what it was to prove God from a young person. He didn't wait till he got old and then said, oh, I'm going to trust God now for the rest of my life. The Lord worked in his heart when he was a young man. And that youthful zeal that David had as he proved God out in the sheepfold, as he had to stand against the wolf, the lion, the bear, it prepared him for the battle of life that he was going to face as the king of Israel. And God uses these times to prepare us. And as we determine to go on with God, the goal we aim for is, I will hope in the Lord continually. I'd like you to turn, please, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Paul is speaking here about Abraham. And this is what he says about this man of God. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, the promise God gave him. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead because of his age, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, an impossibility that she should bear children. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief,
but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And so here we have the example of Abraham, this man who, against hope, when there was no ground on which to hope, and it was at that point that this man of God believed that very thing. That is, he had a believing expectation that God would fulfill the promise that he had been given. Listen to these words by the commentator Matthew Poole. Abraham, when he had no natural or rational grounds of hope, either in respect of himself or Sarah, his wife, did yet believe and hope he should have a son, and so be a root or a stock from whence many nations should spring. And this faith and hope of his was grounded upon the power and faithfulness of God. He believed in hope. John Trapp, in his commentary on Romans 4, he wrote this little paragraph. He said, "It is the nature of faith to believe God upon his bare word, and that against sense in things invisible, against reason in things incredible." You see, sense corrects imagination, and reason corrects sense, but faith corrects both. "It will not be," said sense. "It cannot be," said reason. "It both can and will be," saith faith, "for I have a promise for it." And that, my friend, is what it means to believe in the Word of God against all reason, against all common sense. And that is exactly as David said here, "I will go forward. I will go on." There is also praise in this statement that is made here, because in verse 14, back in Psalm 71, he says, "I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." My, the word praise, it is used so many times in the Scripture. It is the word halal. And we recognize immediately the word hallelujah that we have. It is praise unto Jehovah. And when we think about the praises of Israel, the praises of David, and how he sought the Lord both in his song, in his words, we are admonished that that should be in our hearts continually. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise." The sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And that idea of worship and praise is continued throughout the Scripture. In Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." This is what it means to walk in fellowship with God. "Then believe they his words, and they sang his praise." You see, when we are praising God, either in our speech or in our song, the devil is not able to so easily divert our attention with temptation and by some trial. Not only was David in the spirit of praising in his song, but he was speaking the word also to God. Look at verse 15. "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." Show forth thy righteousness.
That word there means to recount or to rehearse, to declare. And so the word appears again in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. For the Lord says, "Ye are my witnesses." But some may think, "I cannot be a witness for God, for I am unable. I have no talent. What can I do for God? I can barely open my mouth and speak in public." Well, friend, it may be then a private word that is what God is asking for you to do. Maybe handing a gospel tract to someone. Maybe simply saying, with that little gospel tract or one of our little Bibles, say, "Would you take these gospel verses and read them?" And you might have to say nothing more. If the person asks you something about your faith, you may just tell them, "I love the Lord, for He has saved me from my sin." And that simple testimony, friend, is a powerful testimony. And don't ever think you have nothing to offer, you have nothing to give. You're able to speak with your mouth. And as you're able to speak, you can speak forth the righteousness of God. In Jeremiah, the first chapter, when God was commissioning him, the Lord said to him, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God's sovereignty. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Then Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go, and all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." What words? It didn't depend upon Jeremiah. And friends, let us get that into our minds. It does not depend upon us. It depends upon the God who has commissioned us. And the Lord has given to all of us a commission: go into all the world and preach the gospel. And let us be a light and salt in our time. The Lord wants us to be witnesses unto Him. That's exactly what He said to His apostles. After Christ had risen from the dead, He said in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I will speak the word of the Lord." I will go forward, hoping, praising, proclaiming. Why? Because David said, "I know not the number of my days." Moses said, "Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom." You see, friends, we can think we have much time left, but we do not know how much time we have. And therefore, it concerns us to be about the Master's business while we have life, while we have health, while we have strength. Let us not put off these matters, but say, "I will live for the Lord by His grace today. I want to serve Him today." I want you to notice, secondly and briefly, the source of our strength as far as David spoke here in this psalm. Verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord." It was not his own strength. Knowing that his heart was not always in the right direction, as we know our hearts are not either, not always prepared and fit for such service. Depending, though, upon a strength that is not our own, we are resigned with a resignation that God gives us. "I want to go to higher heights of blessing with God. I want to go through with the Lord." And if we have determined that throughout the beginning of this year and up to this point now, say, "Lord, I want more. I want to give more. I want to be better." There's a resignation there. And there is a reaffirming of a strongly held conviction in the Word of God. And if that has been slipping from our lives or through our fingers, we say, "Lord, come back again and reaffirm Your truth to my heart with greater conviction, with a greater love for Christ. Because as I have these things in me, The word of the Lord will abound in my life. And I will see it being worked out in the small details. You're not a theologian. You may not be a pastor or a missionary. But friend, the word of the Lord is God's word to you as His child. We also come with conviction that there is a rejection of the ways and the things that have hindered our progress. We say, Lord, let me be done with those things. Please remove them from my life. I have known the stumbling and falling of temptations. I've known things that have come into my life and I don't want them. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to stand against them and to reject them so I'll not fall down that same pit again. The Lord would enable us with that special strength that we have as His children. We have access to the Lord by prayer. We are His child. It sounds strange, but we have a right to come into the presence of God. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our need. Not ourselves, but we come upon the ground of Christ's shed blood. We come on that new and living way, and that special grace and strength that is provided for us, it's there for us, child of God, every single day. And that strength, which is not of self, supplied through the finished work of Christ, let us bask in the sunlight of that every day of our life. The more we live in the light of Calvary, the more we live in the light of the atoning work of Christ, our lives will be different. And people will see that we're different. And we will have sufficient grace for every challenge, for everything that comes against us. Let us put that into practice every single day of our lives so that we'll be able to say with this conviction, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our heads are bowed and our service is almost over, maybe you're here tonight, friend, and you're not a believer. You've never invited the Lord into your heart. Well, I encourage you tonight, where you are seated, to repent of your sin and call unto the Lord. He has promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure of your salvation. You don't really know where you stand with the Lord. Right where you are seated, pray, O God, come and revive my heart. Come and seal those things that are at this point uncertain and confusing. And the Lord will answer your prayer. He will help you. He will aid you. Loving Father, take the word tonight, I pray. Take the word and speak to all our souls. Lord, we know our weakness to some degree. We ask Thee, Lord, that we will know the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We will have joy and peace in believing. Because the joy of the Lord, it is our strength. And we know, Father, it is your purpose that we are to be full of joy. So help us with conviction. Help us, we pray, O Lord, with determination. We will go on and serve for whatever time we have left. So Lord, bless us in our time of fellowship afterward. Receive our thanks for the good things that have been provided. Some have to go, we pray. They will go in the power and the strength of the Lord Jesus. So be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.